Speaker, and I give you Jeffrey G. from the D.C. W. I apologize. Jeffrey W. from the D.C. Area Service Subcommittee.
All right.
On P.I.
All right. Hello, family. I want to add it. My name is Jeffrey. At this time, I currently provide service work at the level of public information as the chairperson of the District of Columbia Area Service Committee. And that's a very honorable position to be in. And what I'm going to do is give you the administrative task of public information. And it's a big task, and what I'm going to do is start by giving you what is called our primary purpose, which is our statement of purpose. Okay, and the reason is this. PI provides information about Narcotics Anonymous to the general public. The PI subcommittee also reaches out to struggling groups and acts as a communication link between the D.C. area. The subcommittee also helps members and groups learn more about NA service structure. The subcommittee works to ensure that NA groups are better able to fulfill their primary purpose, as stated in the fifth tradition, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Narcotics Anonymous, basic text, fifth tradition, page 64. In addition, the PI subcommittee also ensures that the information about NA is accurate and up to date. And we do this by a variety of different ways of communication. One is being by through the web, newsletters, basic text, so forth and so on. We also provide what you call a helpline. A helpline reads as this. The helpline is a telephone service that provides a point of contact for addicts seeking recovery. And that's the purpose of a telephone line. So when people call in, they could actually find where the next meeting is. In mere desperation, that might be their only way of communication. Excuse me. We also have, what you call introductory mailing lists. Our mailing lists introduce the programs of NA to professionals and health organizations and social services and others who deal with addicts by mailing information about NA. That's very important in regards to on the professional level. You might have a facility that's interested or some facility or places do not know about NA. We provide that information by mailing lists. We also, again, make note that we have meeting lists that I'm sure some of you have already seen that has places and times and locations of where NA is actually being held. The list of NA meetings in the D.C. area is where I provide meetings at, where we provide is vital to recovery resource for members of NA to the general public and still suffering addict. We also have what you call an outreach network. Outreach subcommittee members network with other subcommittees in the D.C. area, in our area, for the purpose of providing support. Subcommittee members assist with special events, subcommittee putting on marathons, meetings, fundraising events, and other events. This is a very vital function of PI because you might have an actual meeting that's lagging or a meeting where people are not showing up. So we provide that service to make sure that we can ensure that this meeting still exists and go on. It's important that any addict seeking recovery need never die provided there's a meeting to be provided with. We also do what you call presentations. PI frequently receives requests to provide information about NA to professionals at institutions or organizations throughout the metropolitan D.C. area. By email, sometimes I might get an email stating that there is a meeting, there's an area that's in dire need of a meeting. And what I would do is I'll contact them and let them know, in order for this to happen, we have to set ground rules, that we would have to do a presentation to let the actual tentative or potential meeting know that these are the structures of NA, that we cannot be actually immediately associated with that because it would take on a new meaning or a new name. NA is a standalone function. It is not a new organization, but it is a standalone function. to avoid conflict of taking on our name, we do that presentation because it can become overbearing and overcumbersome. We also provide posters. Posters are put up in a variety of different spots. Our posters are used to inform the public about NA and how and where to contact the Fellowship of NA. We also do what you call public information opportunities, such as at the Black Family Union, DC Expo. And you might seem a big old poster in the beginning of a stand like this. It says NA. And you say, well, why are they putting this NA thing out here and it's supposed to be an announced program? Well, again, we're not a secret society. That's what people might get in conflict with. We are a well-known organization. NA is not a secret, and if it was, this room would not be filled. So it's very important and vital that we provide posters so that any addict can come up and ask, you know, what is this program? How can we help you? That's what's important, and that's why we provide posters. We also provide what you call public service announcements. What is a public service announcement? This is your eggs. This is your brain, and this is drugs on you. We all seen the commercial. Yeah, and that's what actually our public service announcement does. you know, it's kind of old, corny, but it's real.
Got a lot of us here.
Exactly. You know, we have to be open in our lines of communication and how we communicate, you know, not just by through the internet, but action speaks a lot of words. I mean, when you see something, you're more likely to actually adhere to it. I'm a visual learner. You know, until my stuff got gone, I didn't realize that, you know, maybe. Look around. What happened? Okay. Now I learned. Okay. Public service announcements are notices about which reach the public by way of press, radios, and television. Do not be misconstrued when we say radios, press, or whatever, because NACOS Anonymous, as the organization, is anonymous. We as the individuals are anonymous also, you know, so don't get overzealous to the idea, oh, you know, we got the radio here. Well, unless they're invited, they're not invited. That's pretty much our list goes on and on of a variety of different things that public information does for the general public and how we build relationships to the actual general public. And I can stand here all day and give you some of the tasks that I have, but I have my time is not allotted with 1 minute left. But we do have a few people up here. Ronald will give you some more detail about the relationship of public information, how it helps the actual public. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now I'll give you Ronald S. from the South Potomac area.
Good morning, family. My name is Ronald, and I'm an addict. You know, and I'm truly grateful that the program committee asked me to come and share my experience, Strip of Hope, on public information. One of the things that I found out was that before I got here, I didn't know anything about Narcotics Anonymous. And he just stated, it's not a secret society. And that's one of the primary purposes of public information, to make sure that we carry the message. And the message is real clear, you know, that any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And I didn't know that before, you know. And so it was important that I understand why would I get on this service committee, you know. And service has been a real integral part of my life since I've been in the program. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, I have a sponsee network that encouraged me to do that. And it helps me stay clean. It taught me some things that I never had an idea that I would learn, some commitment. You know, and that's one of the things about public information. That's one of the things we do in our personal recovery that just contributes to the positive atmosphere that Narcotics Anonymous sets for the public, for the groups, for the facilities that we hold meetings in. When we say we're going to be there, We need to be there. You know, as a public information person on the subcommittee, I never go by myself. In South Potomac, PI and H and I, we always get together and we go to a facility, and he said it. We explained to him what Narcotics Anonymous does. He talked about the sixth tradition. We're not affiliated. We don't lend our name or anything. This is what we can do, you know. The program speaks for itself, you know. And he talked about the individual anonymity. I mean, the program has changed the lives of people, and that's what's real evident to me, you know. It's truly been a wonderful part of my life. I know in our region, there are various levels of people who get involved in service, you know. And I was just grateful that I had somebody to teach me and instruct me, you know. And when I got to the area, we didn't have anybody in that capacity, but I went to the region. And people were truly willing to just share their experience, drift, and hope, and teach me and give me some instructions, you know. And that afforded me to come back to the area and help the area. One of the major things that we did was we put basic text in libraries. And we don't care if they don't bring the book back. On the first page or second page, it talks about, just read the book. We put the information out there. We take pride in making certain that the meetings that we say go on in our area are there. We have people on this panel that will go out and make sure and visit those meetings every month. And if they're having problems, we come back and report that. And we ask the GSR, what can we do to help strengthen and get some support in that group? You know, I know I've had the experience where I went to a place and nobody was there to open the door. And I needed a meeting. The emptiness, you know, that I felt. And that was my experience, you know. And so it's important that we do what we say we're going to do, you know. One of the things that has really helped me is the fact that Narcotics Anonymous is so well known, there are over 48,000 meetings a week in the world. Man, how many people is it helping? It's truly, truly a miracle, you know. I'm just so grateful. When I got here, they were revising the PR, the Public Information Handbook. And I got an opportunity to be a part of that. From 2004 to 2006, we reviewed it. We met time and time again on integral parts of it. And I got an opportunity to have my own input. I get an opportunity to come back to my area and announce that, hey, if you're interested in getting involved in your own recovery, you can do that. It's up to you, you know. You know, I wasn't responsible for my addiction, but I'm responsible for my recovery. I say I'm a grateful addict, and I am. Gratitude is about action. It ain't about what I say, it's what I do. And I found that so important, you know. My life has gotten tremendously better. Service, why me? I've learned so much. When I first came to the program, I was computer illiterate. Y'all helped me with that. You know, we're in the 21st century. The bottom line is, hey, I need to be up to speed in that kind of technology. You know, one of the most wonderful things I found out is I don't have to know nothing in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, that's why I couldn't stop using, because I was too smart. With 2 degrees, I could not stop. I could not stop using, you know. And I would always look at the stopping part. I never looked at I couldn't stay stopped. And it was terrible, man, you know. So nothing anybody can do for me is worse than what I've done to myself, you know. And y'all helped me with my self-esteem with that, you know. Y'all made me accountable when I come to the area, if I'm on a service committee, and I'm not on that service committee now, but I've always been a part of that. Anytime they ask me to do something in PI, I'm willing to do it, you know. And I'm committed to that. You know, we talked about some principles, you know. We talked about the principle of self-support. The bottom line is the money that we put in the basket, it's not enough. The activities that we're able to put on with special events that sends the money to the region, you know, we got a budget. I know I have been involved and been asked to go to different health fairs, and we have a table, a Narcotics Anonymous table, with literature on it. And people find out about our program. I know we've been doing a Stone Soul picnic every year. It'd be hot, but we put a booth out there, you know. If you really want to know what's going on, get involved, you know. Y'all don't have to tell me because I know, because I'm involved, you know, and it's important. And I'm truly grateful, you know, that I have an opportunity, you know, to come here, you know. Man, I'm having a great time, man, you know. I really appreciate the fact that I was asked to come up and share my experience, Jeff, for Hope. With that, I'm going to pass.
That's right. And now we're going to give you the H&I part of this workshop. And we're going to begin with Bradley S. And he's from the Norvana area.
Hey, family, my name is Bradley. I'm a recovering addict. And I want to thank CPR, CNA for hosting this committee here, this function, and I want to thank the region for asking me to be involved. I'm real simple. I'll get right to the point. I'm the H&I chair for the Nirvana area. I've been on H&I since I came into the program. My sponsor suggested that I get involved when I had about 17 days clean. And what was good about that, I was able to shut up and listen, you know. And what I found out on my journey about H&I, we have to keep the main thing the main thing. We are on the front lines. You know, this is very serious. This is about getting help. And when I read the service, Why Me, I thought that was a perfect topic for me because I'm very, very dedicated to helping, you know, the newcomers get here because the big reward is when I'm here at a convention and I see someone and they say, hey, I remember you from such and so committee. And then you look down and you see that number on there and they've got a year clean. That's right. They've got 6 months clean. See, that's what this thing's about, keeping the main thing, you know. H&I's purpose, we go into places where people can't get out to a meeting on a regular basis and carry a message of hope. The one thing about us, we are not autonomous. We have a handbook. We go through guidelines. There's certain things that we have to do when we go into these facilities. You know, our only affiliation with that facility is cooperation. We're there to carry the message of hope, not to carry the addict, you know. My sponsor told me when I first got here, it's real simple. Sometimes the only basic text a new addict might see is you. So when you go into a meeting or when you're out in public, it doesn't matter. You carry yourself accordingly, you know, and I try and do that to the best of my ability. We work very close with PI because of facilities that have treatment counselors, professionals, and things like that. And if we're going in to do a presentation to carry the message to some addicts, then it's H&I. If it's professional, we bring PI. We go in together if it's joint, you know, that type of thing. We pretty much work hand in hand to carry this message. You know, when I got here, and I'm going to tell you how miracles work. You know, I was laughing. I looked 3,482 days today, right? And I was in the main speaker meeting yesterday, and the second person I walked into was a young lady that worked with H&I that brought the meeting when I was in a facility. I was the first person I ever saw, right? And it was funny because, you know, female, new male, you know, I thought, Now, I could run up and get that number, right? You know, she was talking to some women, and she gave me more help that day than probably anything. It came real straight. She said, well, Bradley, what you need to do is get with some men. Now, our bulletin for H&I, which is bulletin number 5, speaks specifically at that. That's where men working with men, women working with women. It's very, very important that we follow the guidelines, you know. I'm sort of a stickler and all, but I enjoy this journey. You know, the front lines, you know, the rewards that come from this. It's not about being seen or anything. This is not for somebody that's of glamour and that type of thing. This is for somebody that really wants to come in and get your hands dirty. You know, they told me the only way I could get clean, I had to get my hands dirty. And that's what I do, you know. This is not about what I talk about, because I get my most help when I do something for somebody and don't tell nobody about it, you know. And those are the rewards. See, this takes commitment. This doesn't take somebody saying, yeah, I'll do it. I mean, this takes commitment. This is about action. This is about helping just one person get the gift that each and every one of us have, you know. And it is a gift, you know, and it's nothing to toy with, you know. I've been around here long enough to see some people come in that I dearly loved that didn't stay because they wanted to hang around on the edge, you know. My sponsor told me, come in, sit down, shut up, and get busy, and that's what I did. The one thing I found out about this process and with H&I, it's about when I got here, what I had to do. You know, I had to get better with me. You know, once I got better with me, I could get better with y'all. And what came about, you know, I found out I couldn't put N.A. into my life. I had to put my life into N.A. You know, and it made such a big difference because, see, Narcotics Anonymous is already structured. See, my life was totally unmanageable, out of control. You know, I can remember the beginning of my story is that old Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. At the end, it was smoking crack, burning down my mother's house. So, you know, and I thank God for the pain that I went through to get here. I can appreciate every jail, everything I had to go through. Now, see, I see a lot of people in this room, and I'm very impressed with the number of people that came out here. And I just want to ask, how many people are in service on one of these three committees? All right. Very good. Now, everybody that didn't raise their hand, okay, we would like to see you at one of these subcommittee meetings. For real, the only way we can keep what we have to give it away. See, much given, much required. If you're not getting a lot out of this, we might want to take a look at why. You know, that's what I found out. That's why I still go to meetings every day. You know, I'm not in service at the group level anymore. I'm the chair for the Nirvana area, and it takes a lot of my time. I also work, you know, I do the phone line Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I told them just give me Friday, Saturday, and Sunday 24 hours, you know, and I'm available. When my phone rings, I am there, you know. And the reason I got that dedication is because when I was out there using, I had that type of dedication. I'd walk a mile for some shavings, you know, if you can understand. So I'm willing. Yeah, y'all laugh, but that's the truth. But see, that laugh is identification, okay? I know that now. Y'all not laughing at me. Y'all are laughing with me. Yeah. See, because that's how this thing works, y'all. Each one help one. And H&I is really, really a great subcommittee. So I implore each and every one of you to please, when y'all leave this room, look at these tags. And when you see someone with less than a year clean, just give them a hug. Just give them a hug. Let them know it'll be all right. Because that's what this thing is about. You know, all my life, I searched for love, acceptance, and security. And I never found it out there, y'all. I came in here, I found out that was God's job. He accepts me for who I am. He loves me for who I am. Now, as long as I do the right things, I can feel secure in what I do. No right way to do the wrong thing. Get involved, help someone, love somebody, and be a better person. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, yes, look at the room. I now give you LaTanya Aru from the Montgomery area.
Hi, I'm LaTanya. Tanya Manatee.
Hey, Tanya.
And I was nervous until she called my name. But, you know, I want to thank the convention committee for putting on such a wonderful convention and also for having the H&I subcommittee have enough confidence in me to invite me to speak. And I'm glad it's only for 10 minutes. But, you know, H&I means a lot to me. You know, when I was in treatment, I remember my girlfriend, Carolyn, she's here. We were in treatment together. And I remember us sitting and crying, talking about how we had destroyed our lives, how our children didn't love us anymore, how, you know, it would never be the same if this didn't work. Then I know I wanted to die. You know what I mean? And I remember them making us get up and go to this meeting. They had this gentleman bring this woman into the meeting, and this woman came in, and she was fly as hell. You know what I mean? She had on her heels, you know, she had her hair cut sharp, and, you know, she was talking about how she had come from the same neighborhood I had come from. And I knew because she identified the streets and the house. I knew what house she was talking about, you know, but I was like 100 pounds, you know what I mean? And she was looking great, you know what I'm saying? She was my first light of hope that maybe that things would get better and this program could work for me. Right, and that was an H&I meeting. So when I came out of treatment, you know, first of all, I had no more plans. You know, I needed a sponsor to tell me what to do because I was scared to death to use again. So I got in service, and I did step work, and I got numbers of some women with some time, and they told me what to do, and they guided me. And I went to the H&I subcommittee, and I had about 3 months clean. And they taught me. They taught me the do's and don'ts. I went to a few learning days and got some experiences from different areas. And I took my first meeting into a children's facility. And it was the most rewarding experience ever for me. And at that time, I had children around that age who were mad at me. You know what I mean? And it helped me. And my sponsor had told me at that time that sometimes you got to do some things for some other people. So when your kids go through what they go through, somebody else going to have to help them, right? It's like, it's the circle of life, you know what I mean? You know, and it worked out that way. I couldn't help my kids, but someone else was there for them, just like I was there for those kids. And H&I has been actually the vehicle of great growth for me in this process. It's more of an emotional attachment to me. It means a lot to me to see women come into the program who I saw at the jail, you know, and trying to make it, coming to meetings and getting sponsors. And because for me, the women don't show up like the dudes do, you know what I mean? The guys, they come in groves, and even in treatments, you know, and where I was in treatment, we had limited beds for women, but there were a lot of beds for men, you know. And so H&I is imperative. When we go in there, we talk to those women with little hope, and they got everything that's there for men. So we need women in our area to come out and carry the message of hope to these women. You know, it's been a very rewarding journey. God, I'm kind of blanking out a little bit, but I've been on the subcommittee for 8 years, and and right now, I'm the chair. I am the chair for the Montgomery County area. And right now, we're planning our H&I Learning Day. The problem that we face in that area is that a lot of the same people are doing the same service positions. That it's very hard for us to recruit new members to come out and carry the message. We need women for the jail, women with 3 years off paper, to carry the message to the jail. We have a girls' facility on Potomac Ridge that desperately need African-American Hispanic women to come out. The population of that group is densely African-American and Hispanic, and they're not responding too well to anyone outside that area. And that's a part of H&I. It's not just carrying a message. It's understanding the facility's needs as well. You know, we've had a lot of instances where meetings have almost folded H&I meetings have almost folded in that area because we weren't really responding to the need of that particular facility, you know. Sometimes, especially when you're dealing with kids, you need people who maybe have kids, you know, to go in that facility to kind of reach out and carry an effective message to those people. So right now, we are planning our H&I Learning Day, which is going to be in June. We're going to have a cookout, and we're going to have hot dogs and everything. We want you guys to come out, and we're going to have all the different areas come out and represent and talk about the facilities that they have and maybe sign you up. There's also should be a sign-up sheet down at the downstairs at the PI table where if you are interested in any service work in your area, then you can write your name and your phone number and your email down, and someone will get with you after this convention is over. We'll have someone call you. Thanks for letting me speak.
And now we're going to come to the phone line subcommittee, and the first speaker will be Gary Q from the South Potomac area.
I'm an addict. My name is Gary. And I'd also like to thank the CPRCNA for asking me to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope on this topic as well. And, you know, I kind of went a different way on this topic. When I was thinking about it, I thought about the service part. But the part that kind of hit me most was the why me. And I remember my sponsor telling me, find the suit that fits you in this program. And I, you know, I had probably about a year clean, about 9 months clean when I joined the phone line. You know, I the desire to use was gone. I knew I had to do something. You know, I was so grateful that, you know, I was waking up in the morning and my first thought wasn't, you know, how am I going to get on? The first thing I did, I stopped doing was reaching over and grabbing them pants that I had crawled out of the night before to figure out if there was anything left in it. So I knew I had to do something. You know, I was grateful that had changed. But, you know, there was still some work to be done. I knew that. You know, my sponsor would tell me that service was extremely important. It's a part of the program, you know. That I needed to be in service, and you know, I wasn't the kind of guy that I ain't go to crack houses, you know, I ain't hang out on the corner, and I was a huge isolator, you know, I did most of my dope at home, you know, my mere existence had become, you know, me. A recliner, a television, and a remote control. You know, I get up and I go out to work. I'd cop on the way home, but you know, my whole world had been shrunken to this room. You know, only time I left the room was when my ex-wife would come home, and I would get up and then I'd go to the basement so I could keep on doing what I was doing without being disturbed. Getting in communication, my ability to communicate was, I had just stopped growing up, my growth just got stunted, so my ability to communicate was like non-existent, I remember the phone would ring, I wouldn't answer it because, I couldn't talk, I remember one time my ex-wife, she called. We had call ID, and I knew it was her, but I couldn't answer because I couldn't talk. And, you know, I had the door open, and she came in. She was like, why you answer the phone? You know, she was just out in the driveway, just wanted somebody to come out and give her a hand with bags, you know, grocery bags, you know. But, man, you know, I was just, my world was just shrinking, man, you know. And so I, you know, I got on the phone line, and you know, it was sort of easier for me to you know, not have to face large crowds of people, you know, kind of hiding behind the phone, you know, you know, it's been a very gratifying experience, man. I've had, you know, my base began to kind of broaden, you know. I felt a sense of worth, you know. My self-esteem and self-worth was starting to rise without me even realizing it, you know. I'll never forget, I got a phone call from a girl that was coming down here for the weekend from New York. And she just gotten out of treatment. And, of course, her sponsor told her, you know, find out where the meetings is at. You know, when you get down there, go to a meeting. You know, she told me where she was coming, and I told her where the meeting was. Just so happened she wasn't going to be far from my home group. When she got to town, she called me again. And you know, I kind of directed her. She was getting a ride with her sister. Her sister was dropping her off, and I directed her into the meeting. And she came in, and she attended the meeting and you know, introduced herself as a newcomer. And afterwards, you know, we talked. And she asked for a ride home, and you know, I got one of the ladies in the meeting to give her a ride home. And about a year later, I got a phone call, and she said, Gary, and I was like, yeah, you know, sounded real nice, you know, I'm like, yeah. She said, this is Tanya. And I was like, yeah. She said, you probably don't remember me. I was like, no. She said, about a year ago, I came down to D.C. And you showed me how to get to a meeting. You helped me get to a meeting. And she said, I'm celebrating my one-year anniversary tonight. And I just called to say thank you, Mom. Man, me, you know, somebody totally self-centered, you know, transformation, man. Just being in service, man. These guys, man, you know, what they do, you know, standing up in front of people, public information, and H&I, and, you know, man, service just kind of gives me back, you know, a lot of what I lost, you know. That's why I go, you know, that's why I go. In addition to helping keep the dream alive, you know, because you know, I don't know where I'd be, you know, without this program, man. You know, I was going down that road, you know, and it was a slow suicide. And the phone line is definitely grown. You know, when I first got on the phone line, you know, and I kind of had a resentment against H&I. because I don't know if you ever been to area service before, but you go in there and they got tables set up. And, you know, the H&I table, it's about 15 people. You know, the phone line table, you know, it's 1, 2, you know. I'd be looking at them like, you know, they should be ashamed of this. You know. But, you know, the service is extremely important. A lot of times it's the first. I mean, you know, it's the front lines, man. It's the first line of communication for a lot of the addicts, you know, who don't know nothing about Narcotics Anonymous. You know, they just, you know, trying to stop using, you know, and just don't know how. I got a call from a guy the other day, and And all he could say was, something's got to change, you know. Something's got to change, you know. And I could feel him, you know. I remember being there, man, you know. Something's got to change, you know. You know, our primary purpose is to just get an addict to a meeting, you know. That's what we do. We ain't counselors, you know. We ain't psychiatrists, you know. If you ever call the phone line, you will hear. If you feel suicidal, hang up and call 911. Because we ain't doctors, you know. We don't pretend to be any of that. But if you're looking for a meeting, you want to do something about your problem, you know, we can help. So that's kind of my experience with the phone line. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah.
And last but not least, I give you Donnie S. from the Montgomery area.
Everybody, I'm an addict named Donnie.
Hi, Donnie.
We pulled up to the convention this morning, and my girlfriend keeps a tight rein on me. And as we were getting out of the car, she said, look, dude, make sure you lock the door because my purse is in here, and all addicts aren't in recovery. And I'm not going to tell you all where we parked, but I will tell you that... I will tell you that I got to thinking about that, and all addicts aren't in recovery, and there are millions and millions of addicts out there using right now, and there's probably, you know, 5 or 6,000 people here at this convention today, and we're doing what we can for our lives. But there's a little thin layer of people out there who are at the darkest day of their life right now, and there's even a thinner layer of people that have the helpline number in front of them. And those are the people I get to talk to. I get to talk to them every day. I take a shift from 12 to 5 every day, weekdays. And a lot of times I'm at work, and a lot of times I say, damn, I got to answer this phone. But I answer it, and I get people that have never been to a meeting. I get people that are scared to death. They get people that don't know what to do. They just don't know what to do. And when I'm talking to them, we're kind of like triage, you know. They're coming in. They're all beat up from the battle. And if I can just give them a shot of hope, just to get them to a meeting that night, just get them to hang on just for a few hours till they can get to a meeting, you know, because maybe they've never talked to us. Maybe they don't know recovery's out there. Most of them don't. My job is not to predict the future. My job is not to solve their financial problems or their relationship problems. My job is just to get them to a meeting. If I can get them to a meeting, then I'm going to turn it over to you guys. You know, I don't know where I'm sending them most of the time. I say, here's a meeting, go there. But I have all the faith in the world that once I get them in your hands, that if I can get them to raise their hand and say, I'm an addict and I don't know what I'm doing, I need some help, I know that you guys will take care of them. You guys, I tell them, that's the only promise I make them. I say, if you can get to a meeting, I'm sure someone will come up to you and talk to you after the meeting. I have that much faith in you guys, all the home groups all over the world. I know that. I had a couple of interesting calls, too. They're all interesting calls, and I just feel so good because I'm the guy that didn't have any answers, didn't know anything about this. And when I was hopeless and had no faith in anything, I thought I was just supposed to live my life and die using and was all right with that. That's the worst part. I was all right with doing that. But I found my way in here, and I found my way in here through H&I. I was in a treatment center, and the best part of my day was when people brought meetings into me. I look forward to that all day long to see some outside people. And, you know, they say, well, if you want what we got, you know, stick around and do what we do. Well, I didn't really know what they had, but I know I wanted it, but I wasn't really sure what it was yet because I was so twisted up. I just know I didn't want to be me anymore. I wanted to be like them, whatever that was. And you know, after I got on the other side of that, I said, you know what, that meant so much to me. I want to do something like that too. I had a guy came to one of our meetings. He was from Alabama or somewhere, and he said, and I called the helpline, and it was a recording, and, you know, this sucks. It isn't any good. And I said, you know what? It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. Have you guys ever bought a product like I bought a refrigerator once, and the defroster didn't work. So I called a helpline number, and they said, to speak to a representative, you're 54th in line. And the wait time is 45 minutes. That's time for another hit. I can do another hit in 45 minutes. Or the one that says someone will get back to you in 24 hours. I can go on another run for 24 hours if somebody doesn't get back to me. And that's one of the most frustrating things is to call these things. And then I'm talking to some guy in India who doesn't have a refrigerator, and he's reading off of some script somewhere, you know? He's reading off a script. I don't want to talk to someone reading off a script. I want to talk to another addict. I want to somebody to give me some hope and some faith, you know? Sorry, Sean. So I want to talk to another addict who's been there before, because it gives me so much hope and strength to talk to someone who's been there before. Somebody whose defroster on their refrigerator doesn't work, they can say, oh, yeah, you can do this, you can do that. You can go to a meeting, you can get some help there. If you don't have a place to stay, here's where the shelters are. You know, that's what I provide all that information. But and you know what, I'll even tell them some of my story if they want to hear it. If they want to get a little bit of hope from that, because I was hopeless and I can give them some hope and help them along, I'm okay doing that. I'll give them my number. I'll go pick people up too. I've done it many times and it makes me feel real good. It really does to do that. I've picked people up who are celebrating 20 and 30 years or just in town for a convention. Or I'll meet somebody and say, if you want a friendly face to sit next to, this is where I'm going to be. And sometimes they show up and sometimes they don't. And sometimes when I send those people out to your meetings, I never know what happens to them. They're out, and I just hope for the best. I hope that they're out there. I hope that they found a meeting. I hope that you guys picked them up, and I hope they're clean today. Does it happen? I don't know. I don't know if it does or not. But I've done what I'm supposed to do, and that is only to get people to a meeting and share my experience, strength, and hope with them. And you know, that's all I can do. And it's the most, you know, a lot of my friends, I'm real lucky I got into a group of guys, a group of people, a lot of friends in here, and I just never ever had that before. And a lot of you guys are here now or go to the jails and the detoxes and the shelters and share there. And you know, that's kind of, we were talking earlier, that's kind of not my thing. My thing is more one on one. This isn't my thing, believe me. I'm more of a one on one. I like talking to somebody that just doesn't have anything. He's just hopeless and desperate and just doesn't know what to do next. What do you do? You know? I don't know, I might jump off the bridge or I might make this phone call. What's going to happen next? I got a call Thursday as soon as we got down here. This guy, random call out of the blue. Guy called me and he said, did you know so-and-so? I don't even remember the guy's name now. I said, oh, well, not really, I don't know. He said, well, he shot himself 2 days before Christmas. And I'd say, well, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't really know him. He said, well, I'm looking at this little blue book. And it's got a number on the front of it, a helpline number on it. It's got your number in it. And I thought maybe you knew him. I was going through all his stuff. And I said, well, I didn't know him, but I wish he had called that number, you know. Maybe I could have just talked to him for 20 minutes. I'm not carrying this, but I'm just saying that maybe I could have talked to him for 20 minutes and maybe he'd have changed his mind or maybe to come to a meeting at Tacoma Park somewhere. Maybe not. But, you know, it was right there. The number was in his hand at one time. The hope was there. The strength was there. He could have called that number, but you guys know how heavy the phones are, especially when you're geeking and you just don't know what to do, man. You just can't pick up the phone and call anybody. It's so hard to do that. But the people that get the strength to do that, you know, maybe they're at the convention next year, you know. So I want to thank the convention for asking me to come out, Rosetta, and my sponsor and my girlfriend and all the people who have helped me all along. So thanks for letting me share.
Let's thank the workshop speakers again, you all. We have some time. If you want to ask some questions on each committee or for any of the members, you can do so right now if you want to, so that you can get to further sign up for later on, right? For each committee. I am Rosetta Kay, and I'm the Chesapeake and Potomac Regional Phone Line Chair. And our job, as each one of these speakers have said, is the primary purpose is to get that addict to his or her first meeting. Basically, the phone line chair, being phone line chair, it just has been an experience. I started a few years ago, and the phone line was just a tape recording. You know how we get, press one and yada, yada, yada. Well, I'm here to report to you that we are in the 21st century, because when you dial the 1-800 number And if anyone didn't get a magnet, a phone line magnet in their kit, raise your hand and I will give you one. You are able to now speak to a live addict in this region. The phone number, the 1-800 number, the phone line, we bought the number. That number belongs to Narcotics Anonymous, the 1-800 number. Yeah. We do workshops. We do, hey, this is the rent I pay for living, you all. That's service, why me? We do workshops. If you feel a need that you might want to learn about any of these committees and subcommittees, just see one of us. Call the 1-800 number, and the experience you will receive will be so overwhelming. And I felt Gary when he talked about that person a year later saying thank you. Not because we are looking for anything to be so grandiose about, but being in a state of humility at all times. And my experience with the phone line, I'm a 24/7, 7 days a week. I know 10 o'clock on, I'm called. And I received a phone call from a suicidal person. And I had enough tools and enough information to direct that person to the suicide, you know, the 911. They weren't having it. And so as a direct result, I ended up just listening. Because sometimes that's all an addict at that time may want to do. Or who knows when a person will hit their bottom enough to say that they surrender. And I talked to that young lady. That young lady today is now my sponsee, and she's coming up on 4 years clean. That is the reward of doing service without looking for anything. Just being committed and taking some responsibility because I've taken so much, you know. So we're going to open up this meeting on a question and answer period. And if we come to the, you know, if you have a soft voice, please come to the podium. Who didn't get a mag?
You got a question back there?
My name is James. James. First of all, I want to thank y'all for a wonderful job. Y'all really put this out here about putting out this insurgency. All of y'all are powerful examples of this program. You know, y'all are public information within yourselves because y'all set an example.
You're welcome. Again, my name is Jeff, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah. Again, I currently reside on the PI chair as the PI chair of the D.C. area. And to answer James' question, I work directly with James, and the only requirement for membership at that level is the desire to stop using. a desire to be in service, a desire to humble yourself when the opportunity presents itself. Being in service will directly enhance your ability to carry the message, not just in NA, but in all of your affairs. He has given me that ability. I don't know if I made note, too, and I want to make it very clear and important that public information of DC area is always seeking members for service work. We meet at 1125 Varnum Street, which is at Providence Hospital, in conference room number 2, every third Friday at 7 o'clock. It's a 1.5-hour meeting. We are in service. We have a variety of different roles to be provided for and work to be done. If anyone knows anything about updating internet services, we have that service to be provided. We have a secretary position that's open and a lot of stuff that needs to be done. I can't do it all. I would like to do it all, but I just can't. I have a life to live outside of Narcotics Anonymous, a job that I must maintain, you know, that's very demanding. But at the same time, I know in order for me to keep what I have to give it away. Are there any questions in regards to public information, H&I, or phone line? Please feel free to ask at this time. I'm sorry. I did answer the question. Were you not listening? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I get over there.
I'm Tanya Manhattan. Montgomery County, H&I, each area is different. The requirements are different. Our area, you don't have to have anything. You can have one day to come to our meetings. We meet every third Thursday at Christ Congregational Church in Silver Spring off Colesville Road. Our facilities, they range from 3 months to 3 years. You know, depending on the facility. Some facilities require more clean time. Sometimes the requirement is that of the committee. But the desire to serve, you know, plays a big part in, you know, we might bend the rules for you or not. You know, sometimes we see people who are actually dedicated enough that we'll let them go in a little bit earlier than what's required. And so it all depends on the facility. We serve 15 facilities. We carry approximately 95 meetings every month. It's the biggest H&I committee in this area, so we need a lot of help. So if people want to serve, like I said, sign that signing sheet downstairs or see someone on this panel or some people that you know who are in H&I in your area. Thank you. Thank you.
Just like I said before, I don't want to be overcompensating, and I like doing this thing now. Actually, being in – what area are you from again? I'm sorry?
Frederick.
Well, for the D.C. area, it's a matter of showing up at a meeting, at our meeting, public information of the D.C. area. I have a willing to serve and have a commitment to serve is the requirement that we ask of you. And just like anything that you do, whether it be on the job, off the job, whether it be volunteer service, people ask that you be committed to the process. And if you would like to come out to our area, we again meet every third Friday at 1125 Varnum Street, which is at Providence Hospital, every third Friday. If you can find more information about us at na.org. We have a new website. And our website for us is na.org/DCASC. That's where you can get all our information pertinent to us. If you want direct information, I can text that to you. Okay. You're welcome.
Real quickly, I was going to talk about the requirements for the phone line. And pretty much like they were saying, in order to be on the subcommittee, one day clean, you know, there's no requirement to be on the subcommittee. But there are requirements to be an actual volunteer. There is a one-year clean time requirement. And again, kind of like Tanya was saying, there's some flexibility in that. You know, just show up and kind of see what happens. But But a workshop, we do, we put on workshops. We're training workshops, and we give out the necessary tools and training in order for you to be able to be an informed member. You know, one of the most important tools that we always tell the volunteers to keep with them is a basic list. Some of the other things that you might need. We don't always get calls from just, a suffering addict, somebody that's using. We get calls from their parents. We get calls from treatment centers. We get calls from lawyers, doctors. We get calls from a variety of people. So you need to know where to direct these people in order to give out certain information. We do act as a referral center in some cases. We are also guided by the traditions. We kind of walk a fine line with respect to endorsements. One of the areas that kind of is real catchy for us is treatment centers. A lot of times people will call and they're not really looking for meetings, but instead they want to know a treatment center. Our sixth tradition kind of tells us that we are not, in order to keep in with that tradition, we should not, recommend. The recommendation of a treatment center is sort of an endorsement, saying that one treatment center is better than, the rest. So we stay away from that. What we do have is an 800 number that we give out where these people give out treatment center information. I think we got a training workshop coming up real soon in Montgomery area or
Central Maryland.
Central Maryland area on May the 16th. Yeah, there's a flyer over there. So, you don't have to be in the central area in order to attend it. You can come from any area, get the training, get signed up that day. One of the great things about the new system, as Rosetta was talking about, is that, we can send it to your cell phone, your house phone, wherever you want it to go. We can send it there. We can also customize it so that it fits your schedule. It's a really great system. If you're interested, please come on out.
I'm an ad named Ronald. And Kia, this my comment is directed to you. I know that you don't have, William was the chair of PI for your area. But also, you can ask your RCM who they could direct you to. But more importantly, there's a new PR handbook that was just revised and whatnot, and it's on the table. You can ask your area to purchase that, and that will help get you started and give you the foundation for what public information, public relations does. And, there are people that you can get the numbers from, and I know we'd be more than willing to help you get involved in that aspect. So please, if you're interested, service is so important. Thank you.
Again, I'm Rosetta Natick. And also, a lot of the information that you seek is online, and under the phone line, under the public relations phone line, we're Chapter 9. Do you know what chapter you are for H&PI? Okay. Well, the phone line is chapter 9. So are there any more questions? We have a beautiful way of closing. Again, thank you.